Bonya, it's so good to see you.
We're back.
I know, it's been a while. It's been a while, but it's so, we haven't not been talking at all.
Well, that's true.
World. Like,
yes.
We have been in communication. We just haven't had our lovely sit down where we get to see each other and
yeah.
really hash out life. And a lot's happened. We're going to save the one thing for a little bit later. Let's just talk about our lives. What you been up to? You've been having some stuff going on.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You know, like, working a lot. Kids. Mm-hmm. I chaired a wonderful event, this art program where the kids, I've talked about it before. I've done it the last 2 years, I think, two or three. And it's just so much fun. The kids get to create art within a theme. This year's theme was accepting imperfection. And it's wonderful. Like, they can do photography, they can write a poem, any literature. They could do, oh my gosh, like film production, music composition, and of course, visual arts. And my Amelia, my little lady, my daughter, she wrote the song, which I think we may have mm-hmm. talked about because I did send it to you in pre-production. But she performed it.
Sometimes I hear the sound of voices all around telling me not to be proud, telling me don't speak out loud. To be perfect, I feel like I'm worth it. I am here to ease your fears. You are not alone in your tears. And I know you may be scared, but be prepared. Love is shared. 'Cause we can get lost in the dark, can get lost. Feel no one's there to save me. Feel no one's there to save me. I am here to ease your fears. You are not alone in your tears. And I know you may be scared, but be prepared. Love is shared.
And I was so proud of her. She played the piano and performed her song. And it was very cute because she had like all these younger kids and not, you know, some people her age were like, can I get a copy? And they were, you know, it's so fun to see someone being brave on yeah. stage. And you're just like, the kids who have that yearning desire inside of them are like, I want to go there. I want to be that, you know? And so she has some fans. And next year, I think she's going to inspire. We had like 8 music composition entries this year, which I think is pretty awesome. And we had 3 kids who wanted, I gave everyone an option, and I was hoping not everyone would do it because we can't sit there for an hour just listening, but 3 of the kids sang their songs, and it was lovely. And I kind of purposely put, you know, well, I love the arts, and it's a program that I probably will continue to do, but our gala, so to speak, or whatever, was on the 6th. So I couldn't think about anything except for making sure the kids had an amazing experience with the gala and the awards ceremony. And so it was helpful, but I definitely, my partner and I were weepy. I had a friend who helped another parent, and thank God she was on the same side as I. Because right. you just don't know. I don't talk about politics at school because I'm the PTA president, and PTA is a nonprofit and we're nonpartisan, so you can't really be too out there. So, yeah, it was depressing. But anyways, before that, Calvin started jiu-jitsu, so that's fun. I think it's helping him be a little less aggressive, weirdly, because they're teaching,
interesting.
You know, sort of boundaries on all that. And then uh-huh. my little Amelia started volleyball hardcore, and I am hosting a team building dinner this Friday because I don't know how to say no. Actually, I was excited to do it, but you know, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. Right. And well, I'll leave that for my what I could do without. But yeah.
But you're not, wait, were you were coaching before, right?
I was coaching 2 years or a year and a half ago. And then I, you know, she needs someone besides her mommy. To be like,
yeah,
you
sure.
need to do this. So she tried out for I don't know if I talked about that, but she tried out for like a club team. So it's like a travel team. It's a bigger commitment, you know, time-wise and money-wise. But yet she's going to learn a lot. And She's having a lot of fun. So that's all I care about right now. She's so little still. I mean, she's just turned 11. So this is the time where we want them to get lots of playtime and just the love of the game.
Right.
You know, because it's an amazing game. But I don't want her to be somewhere where people are just like yelling at her, like probably would happen if I was her coach.
Sure.
But the coach is good and I'm very excited.
And then what does Calvin studying jiu-jitsu entail? Is that like once a week or?
It can be two or three times a week. He's been doing it for 2 times a week consistently. And, you know, it's kind of like wrestling in a way, but there's moves and it's really interesting because it's like, watching them is hilarious because they're just like rolling around each other, the little kids. But there are, I don't know the rules. I wish I knew, but they talk a lot about bullying and not bullying and making sure you're protecting people. So it's half like instructions on how to act when it comes to sort of violence in a way.
Sure.
And how to protect yourself and also how to like, you know, like you never should do jujitsu on anyone else. And I mean, he's gotten in trouble a few more times of like, he's just a reactor, you know, he's still little, but like if someone punches him, he's like, just punches back. I'm just like, oh, buddy, come on. But it is helping him. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you what the moves are, but there's a lot of like they circle each other and then they crouch down and try to get them so their shoulder is touching the ground.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
No, I just think it's interesting.
I wish I knew, but they have a blast. And then they always end in like a fun game and he's enjoying it. And he has a cute little outfit. It's called a gi. And he got his first stripe. So he was watching him be proud is hilarious. Cause you know, he's my youngest. So it's like, you just think, oh, that's a baby, whatever. But right. When they called his name for his, because he had earned his first like stripe on his belt, he was like holding his face and he was just like, I mean, he's the cutest when he's like in real, he was so happy, but also so like uncomfortable with being in front of everybody. It was amazing. He's so,
that's adorable.
Love him. How about you?
Yeah, I have been working more. So they reopened, I shouldn't say reopened, they opened a location for the restaurant that I work at near-ish where I used to work. And I was very set against going there at all, but I don't want to say I was dragooned. I agreed to help out for a while, so I've been working a couple days a week at the new location while still working my shifts downtown, and it's fine. Like, I'm not mad at the extra money. Like, you know, that's a good thing to have leading into the holidays especially, but it is, you know, almost twice the shifts that I was doing before. It's so funny because like it's me working less than like any average human. Like, it still is, my hours are pretty lenient, but it's been a little bit of a just having less time to myself, which was nice because I felt like I was getting other things done. Like, I was getting more music done and I was getting more writing done and that kind of thing. So I've had to kind of like find time to sneak that in. It's just funny, you know, I was having this conversation with another kind of like former coworker about how it just gets harder to fit things in. I think maybe we just have like less energy. Like, I guess when I was 24, I'd be like, I can work this much and still find time to be creative. And yeah, like it just gets to that place where I'm like, if I don't have the day off, I just don't have the energy to focus on anything, you know?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so I've been kind of just struggling with that and, you know, trying to prioritize creativity. I don't know. I don't know that I have a good point with this other than it definitely just becomes, it's just more of a challenge, you know.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to do some fun stuff. Like, I got to go see Kathy Griffin at Carnegie Hall when she was there.
Was it good?
A few weeks ago. Yeah, it was super, super fun. And, you know, it was a little bit more of a joke show, if that makes sense. Like her last special had much more to do with, you know, going through the controversy and the struggle to kind of like. And this was much more like, here's a person I know. Now I'm going to tell some funny stories about them. But it was, in a way, that was fun. Like, it felt sort of just like old school Kathy Griffin of her just being like, here's a funny story about my friend Sia. And, you know, here's a funny story about so-and-so. And so that was fun. And it's always, you know, it's always to go to a venue like Carnegie Hall and just be like, oh, I'm in this amazing space. And, you know, I've only been there a couple of times. I saw Kristen Chenoweth there many years ago. And I actually saw Margaret Cho there like in 2002, I want to say.
Wow.
One of her early comedy specials. But it is fun to have those moments of like, seeing a cool performer in a cool venue. You know, I went to the Palace Theater, has been closed for a few years now. Well, I talked about this on a episode quite a while ago, but they actually raised the entire theater. Like the theater is like 50 feet higher in the air or something than it used to be. And the lobby is reconfigured. So we went there because there's a musical playing called Tammy Faye, about the life of Tammy Faye. And it was, the show's fine. Like, I don't think the show's bad. It's just fine. Like, it's that thing where, like, you kind of, I wish it was, I feel like it doesn't quite know what its own tone is. Like, it starts out very sort of revival gospel music, and then it has these really strange sort of like body over the top where I don't know that they've quite figured out the tone, which is weird because it's a transfer from London and it did quite well there. So you would, and I get that like American audiences are different, so they've kind of retooled it. I don't know. Anyway, it was fun to go to this theater that I hadn't been to for many, many years. And of course the lobby is completely different. And then you get inside and you're like, oh, it's the Palace Theater. And so that was, it was fun to see a show there. I'm trying to think of other things that I've seen recently. I've seen a few, I've been seeing a lot of movies, but I'm going to kind of save that because I've seen a lot of things that I like, but not a whole lot that I've loved, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that people are into that I have issues with. But once again, we'll save that for a little bit later.
Great. Can't wait.
But yeah, sort of gearing up for the holiday movie season and super excited about, like, Wicked comes out next week, and I don't imagine I'm going to see it the day it comes out, but very excited to see what they did to that. I'm hearing really, really good things about it. So yeah, I guess that's kind of it. Working, trying to get movies under my belt, seeing some shows. Yeah, gearing up for the holidays.
I know, it feels like so far, we haven't talked like this, you know, in a lot, so long. Oh, I ran a marathon. Or not, no, I didn't. I ran a 5K, which is only 3.1 miles. It was great. I had been training for it, and then the fall break happened where the kids were off for a week. And so I basically haven't ran or walked since October. I mean, that's not true. I've walked a little, but like not. And so, and everything was so busy, craziness with work, craziness with the art program. And so instead of, I just took it really easy the day before, and I was like, you know what? You ran 3 miles before in your life. You haven't done it in a row in a really long time. But I just said, I had two goals for myself. One was to not pee my pants, and two was to try to run the whole way. And I did, I was 99th in about 500, and I did a 36 minute 5K, which is basically 12 minutes a mile. And I felt very proud about that because I have not, you know, I felt, and it was, I mean, there was hard times where you're like going up hills and stuff. And I actually really hate downhill more than that because it's just like, I feel like my whole body is going to fall apart. I have no control when I go downhill, but it was fun. It was fun. I felt really accomplished. And if anybody's on the fence about doing one of these, I say go for it. When you go back into the finish line, or when you're, you know, everybody's cheer, they had people cheering. I had to like not sob. I had to practice not sobbing because I definitely was crying, tearing up, because it's just like, it is hard. Even though it's, for me, it's a shorter amount. Like, you could definitely do a 10K, and it would, that would probably be the equal of hardness for, I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you need to do the whole marathon. But the point is like, it is a relief and it's exciting. And then my kids and Adam didn't even get there in time because they thought I'd still be going, but I went faster than they had thought. And so I want to do it again so they could be there to watch me, because I think it's like a good for, I would be good for the kids to see me.
Sure.
Doing something like that. That's really hard for me.
No, that's awesome. Not yeah, that's everybody. Awesome. We'd been kind of, we were texting about it the night before, and I don't remember what I said, but I was just like,
you
do
did.
It. And like,
I
you can
it.
Always... Yeah, and my thing, even, like, I don't necessarily run for timing, but I can always, I tend to rest. Like, I tend to, like, run about a mile, and then I'll walk for about a minute. And the thing about resting is it feels like you can't start again.
Right.
Like, every time I stop to rest, I'm like, there's no way that I can go back to running. But you can. And just, like, know that, like, just go. Like, just start running again. Like, you can do it. And
I told my friend that advice is, like, run, start before you're ready running again.
Right. Before if you think you're ready, just start running again. You'll be fine. I will say, and I don't 100% know, but like I was having some really, really bad lower back pain. I think that I did something to my sciatic nerve actually. And I haven't run in about a month because of it. And part of it is that I need to get new running shoes because I think that was probably part of it. Yeah. I think I ran in my old ones, a little bit too long. But it was really bad, Vanya. Like there was a moment, and I can kind of spin it funny now, but like there was a moment on the subway where I like dropped my bookmark and I was like, well, I don't have a bookmark anymore because no way I can get down on the ground and pick that up. Yeah, there was a time that like I definitely could not touch my toes. Like it, the feeling, the fear of pain made it hard to like get out of bed where just like, I know that when I move, it's going to hurt. And so then I didn't want to move and I still have it. I notice it mostly when I stand up, like if I'm sitting and then I stand up, it takes a few seconds to like straighten myself out. And maybe that's partly a posture thing, but I'm doing a lot more stretching, a lot more kind of like, twisting of my spine, like trying to kind of like keep myself limber. But yeah, it was a scary couple of days where I was
that
like,
is scary.
Yeah. Cause back pain is terrifying.
It really is because it can totally like, you know, I know people who have like had to crawl from a place when their back has gone out. I've never had my back go out, knock on wood, but yeah, scary.
But yeah, it's mostly better. It's mostly better. So just kind of like keeping track of that. Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, I don't know. I was talking about how there's not a lot of things that I've seen that I've loved. I've seen a lot of things that I've liked, but I will, if we're going to jump into our digging.
Let's do it.
Moment of this. I will say, I think that I talked to you, I think I sent you a message the day I saw this movie because it came out a month or so ago, but I did just see that it's now on Prime, I think. If you haven't yet watched My Old Ass.
Oh, I really want to. We were going to watch it last night, but it was a little too late. I was like, mommy's tired.
Yeah, I get it. It's an hour and 29 minutes. So it's like not a very big commitment. It's written and directed by this actress/director/writer, Megan Park. And she's been in a ton of stuff. And it's funny looking her up. I mean, she's so young. And she's done one other movie she's done a few other things, but like she has one called The Fallout that is on HBO that I've never even heard of. But for those that don't know, basically it's about this teenager played by Macy Stella. And it was so funny watching this movie because I was like, this girl looks so familiar to me. It's the younger daughter from the TV show Nashville.
Oh.
But she's all grown up. Like,
I think I saw her in an interview talking about it. Yes.
So she stars as this, you know, young woman who's about to leave home and she ends up like doing mushrooms and meeting herself from 30 years in the future.
Wow.
Or not 30 years, but like 10 years, something like that, you know, a little bit in the future. And that it played by Aubrey Plaza.
Who I love.
And she's just, I just love her. Like, I just love her thing. Like, I think she's so much fun to watch. And it shouldn't work. And certainly there are parts of it that you obviously have to like allow for the ridiculousness of it.
Sure.
But it's just a beautiful story and like a beautiful story. Like it, I was tearing up. I just think it's a lovely, it just has a lot to say about love and about bravery and about letting yourself feel without the worry of being hurt. And I just loved it so much. So I cannot recommend it enough.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, check it out. It's like I said, it's pretty short. It's a sweet, sweet movie. I will say as sort of an honorable mention, I was saying this to you also the other day, Matlock is way better than it should be.
Like, interesting. She's amazing.
Kathy Bates. I mean, she's so good. And she elevates the material like one would imagine Kathy Bates does. But it's very clever. And if you even just watch the first episode, it does that thing where you're like, okay, that's how we're gonna do this. Very clever.
Okay.
So I think it's worth checking out. It's in many ways very procedural. It is case of the week, you know.
I was gonna ask because I find comfort in that.
For sure, 100%. It's also my understanding is it's only going to be a 10-episode season. And I don't know if that'll be true for... It's already been renewed for a second season. I don't know if that's going to be true for every season, but it's pretty digestible as far as that goes. And then while we're talking about shows that I love and I could wait until this season is over, I don't know if you've been watching Somebody Somewhere.
Yes.
It's just... I love it more than I can kind of explain with words.
I'm like, how do they know what I'm thinking?
100%. percent. Like, it's almost eerie watching it, where I'm just like, because I also got to see her. I got to see
Bridget Everett.
I saw her at the Beacon Theater.
Oh, Beacon.
You know, Patrick and a bunch of us. Patrick got us tickets, and so we got to go and see her perform there. And like, just seeing her in her element,
it was so fun.
But it was her show, you know, like it was her Joe's Pub show, but like writ large, like for a big venue. And she's such a special performer. And I feel like for so long, people were kind of like, we need to find her thing. Like, what's her thing going to be? And it just feels like she's in that moment where, like, she, you know, the TV show is going to end with this third season, though I heard her on Fresh Air talking about
their
hope that it. Yeah, it was such a great interview.
It was great.
Just like fun to hear her talk about it. And anyways, I didn't mean to say three things, but I couldn't help but throw those in there. How about you? Anything in particular you're digging this?
Did I dig Colin from Accounts last time?
I don't know. And I'm trying to think.
Okay, well, if I didn't, or if I did, I'm sorry, everyone. But I love it. It's an Australian, like, comedy. It's actually, I think, considered a rom-com. And it's got two actors that are awesome, Harriet Dyer and Patrick Brommel. And they're so funny, and it's like, there's a tiny bit of cringe in there for sure, but it's similar to where I'm like, this is like my sort of humor, and so it's funny. The whole premise is that this, I don't think I'm giving anything away, but the girl flashes him while he's in the car, like kind of does like a meh with her boob. She's having a crazy, weird time in her life, and she just is like, probably needed a little positive attention or something, you know, like not, you know, and he was like, oh my God. And then he ends up hitting a dog. And so they take the dog to the vet, and the dog does not die. So don't worry. I would never watch anything where a dog dies or if, you know, I can help it. Yeah. It's light and pretty easy to watch. And it's funny. I would recommend it. And then I also, my honorable mention was, well, and did you talk about Wild Robot? I don't know. I don't remember anything.
I'm sure that I talked about it to you personally. I don't think that I ever talked about it on
I finally
this.
Watched it. It was really good. I've had lots of parents being like, I cried. I didn't, I kind of got misty, but I was expecting like some sobbing happening over my, but I didn't cry as much. But I loved it. I thought it was beautiful and it was fun. The kids, Calvin, my son was a little worried to watch it because he was like scared to be sad. It's like, it's
sure.
Okay, it's okay.
Did you think you thought it was? So it was funny because our friend Katie reached out to me asking if I thought it was appropriate for young children. And I was like, well, it certainly acknowledges death. Like it acknowledges that death is a thing. But I didn't think it was. So you think it, you thought it was fine. Calvin,
whatever,
fine.
If it's too dark, it'll go over their head because they're
sure.
Her kids are smaller than mine. And, you know, like unless your kids are super, super sensitive and then, you know. Then they're obsessed with death afterwards. But I don't think so. You know, my son, Amelia saw it a couple times. Calvin saw it a couple times. But he definitely felt sad. I think I need to rewatch it because I was like, I didn't get the hit that I needed. I wanted to cry.
I don't think that I cried either. I think that I did get, I think that I was moved by it. But I don't think that I full on had my in and out two tears.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. And then I was also going to mention somebody somewhere because I just am like, oh, and after she holds the dog, I'm like, you can't walk away from a place. You have to. Anyways. And then I know in real life from listening to her episode on Fresh Air is that her actual real puppers passed away. So her crying was like real, real.
It's just so good. It's just so good. And like, you know, I loved her talking on Fresh Air about how, you know, it's a tiny show and it doesn't have a huge fan base, but that some of its fans just happen to be executives at Max. And like, they've done what they can to give it a bit of a life. And I love that. You know, it's going to be, for those that haven't watched it, it's going to end up being 20 episodes, like 20 episodes for the whole thing. Like, it's so digestible. It's so easy to watch. Yeah, I just recommend it. I recommend that to everyone. I can't imagine the person who would not like that show. It's just so darling. And so, and it is bawdy. It is dirty, you know, like it definitely has that in it as well. But yeah, I love it so much. It's just, it's such a fantastic show.
It is. Agreed.
And then we didn't discuss a topic. The topic is going to be what one thinks it's going to be. And I know that you have to kind of watch a little bit what you say. I don't. So I'm going to say some things.
But can I do my what I could do without?
Yeah, sure.
because it'll lead into this.
Sure.
So I'm being let go, or my contract is not being extended because of tariffs, expected tariffs. And it's due to the president-elect, and it's a bummer. I'm okay. I know it's okay, but I've been like really, really sad for the last couple days. Like yesterday was a rough day for me, but I had a nice martini last night and had got some sexual relations with my husband, and I think he got okay. my depression out. That's a little bit dirty, and I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening. But the truth is he, it was a good, it made me feel better. But I'm still, I'm more like pissy, but I'm less sad. And actually, it's going to be a gift, because the next thing I do is going to be great, because I have ideas, and I'm just going to stop being scared to start some of the things that I've been thinking about. When I know more, I will let you all know. But I could really do without that. It's been awful. Okay, now leading into the election, go, Mike.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I have anything smart to say about it, other than I want to point out what you just said, and that is this person who came along and is going to, you know, make America great and give us more jobs, caused you to lose your job. Like, and that I just think I don't want to get in the thing of like, if you voted a certain way, you're blank. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that it's one type of person that voted a certain way. But I think that unless you're a billionaire, which I get it. I get if you're a billionaire and you voted for the person that's going to help you stay a billionaire. I get that. If you're not a billionaire, right. What I will say is that I worry that you are short-sighted. I worry that you are not looking at the actuality of what is about to happen, which is that things are going to get bad. Like, yeah. I don't think that the world's going to end. I don't even know that I can get myself in the headspace of we're going to lose our democracy, though I can see how that would happen. I'm hoping there are enough guardrails that we can stop that from being the fact. But things are going to get bad. You know, it was interesting when I was visiting my friend who lives in London, and she was talking about how every time they vote for the Conservative Party, healthcare gets worse, and no one can seem to figure out that that's, you know, causality there.
Yeah.
When we vote for the Conservative Party in this country, healthcare gets worse and the economy gets worse and jobs get scarcer. And I don't get how that doesn't register to the average person. It's hard for me to understand where that disconnect is.
Yeah.
I've been so sad.
Well, I think they scared people, you know, like I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
People who are like thing. Not necessarily aware of stuff. I mean, like, did I tell you about this during the Dodgers game during the World Series? They were playing these commercials, and I could not believe these were being played. But it was like two podcasters who were like two guys who were like bro-y black guys, and they were like, "Can you believe Kamala Harris is giving prisoners transgender sex changes?" I mean, it played again and again and again, and then you can tell it splices the way she, you know, it's like completely generated. The message they're trying to give all the guys watching sports, being like, "Oh, do you want this?" You know, like if they don't even check it, if they don't just go to the internet and be like, "Was that true?" Because you know they're probably not going to do that. Some of them, they're going to see that right. And be like, "Well, I'm definitely not voting for her." So I just feel like it was icky in that way. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's a little bit off topic of the topic, but it reminds me of a couple things. It reminds me of, I remember like back when Hillary was running, you know, 8-9 years ago, and my nephew being like, "Well, she wants to take our guns away."
Right.
And me being like, "I don't think that she does." And they were like, "No, we saw it was an advertisement that
exactly.
came
out."
Exactly. I remember like a year later being like, "Oh, that was Russia or whatever." Like that was, you were targeted because you care about your guns, and they knew that was how to get you. But I also, and this is not as grand, but it was so bizarre. I was, I don't know, scrolling something, which in general I need to stop doing. I don't know why I keep scrolling. It never leads anywhere good. But it was this commercial, and it was Jennifer Aniston in like a round table of respectable actresses. And she was explaining like the miracle diet pill she takes. And I was like, this isn't real. Like, there's no way she was sitting at a table with Jodie Foster and like, and talking about her diet pill. Like, this was like an actress roundup that they've used AI to change her voice and
gross.
Have her say. And it's wild to me. It's wild that it exists.
Yeah.
And then it's wild that there are definitely people that watch, because then I had to look at the comments, and the comments were like, I can't believe she would use her forum to talk about this, and me being like, she didn't.
It's not
she
real.
Didn't, you guys, like, this isn't real. Like, and it just sort of like blew my mind. Yeah. I don't know.
That's,
and I was just
the scariest thing
to...
is we're in this age of information that is actually making us dumber, because
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The thing I sent to you was, it, you know, basically about like how we have to just, you know, obviously there's lots of things that we can do, but like, I feel like for my depression, like, and my, I just have to like focus on the people that I affect and that affect me, and that I could do the most good where I'm at right here. But it's like, I can't be caught. Like last time that guy was the president, I don't know if I've, it was so stressful. And I just, yeah, I'm like praying that, you know. And then there's some people who have like children in special needs programs who have voted for him, and he wants to get rid of the Department of Education. And I'm like, okay, because people are like, he would never do that though. And you're like, actually, that he said he would. So we should believe, right, what he says he's gonna do, yeah, you know. Anyway, I don't know. There's, yeah, just a strange. We all hear what we want to hear, I guess, but it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty scary. So, kind of being all over the place. So, my could do without actually, obviously, could be that, but it's. You know how we talk about how we don't like to talk about art with our could do withouts?
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm going to talk about art for a minute with could do withouts, because this is just, and maybe it's just where we are, partly because of what we were just talking about. So I just finished The Penguin, and here's my thing.
Okay.
Fantastic performances, and maybe once again, it's just where we are. And if it's all just a setup for The Batman Part 2, and they decided to give us a 10-hour setup for that film, okay. You know what I don't need to see right now? Shitty people doing shitty things that end shittily. And that's, yeah, literally what that whole series felt like to me, where it was just like,
oh no,
awful people being awful, and then awful things happened. And I finished it last night and was just like, why? No, I don't need that. Like, I just, yeah, don't need to see that. And maybe it's cathartic for someone else. Maybe I'm taking it too seriously or too personally or literally. But for me, I was just like, I don't need this. And here's the other art thing that I'm going to bring up. And people that I love have loved this movie. I saw the movie Anora, and I will say that I went into it really wanting to like it and really wanting to be into it. This is the issue I'm going to bring up, because I sort of wish that I had known, much like I wish I had known that The Penguin was going to be shitty shit. The first time, and I'm only going to say this word once because I hate it, but also don't want to give it too much power. The first time in Anora that the word faggot is used, it is a subtitle. Someone is speaking in a foreign language, and clearly the writer director felt that we should know that that's a word this person had used.
Okay.
And while I find that word very jarring, I kind of decided to shrug it off, to be like, whatever, it's fine. That's the character, whatever. The second time that word is used, it is used by the main character, Anora, to put down a man, to insult him. The third time that word is used,
yeah,
it is to insult this exact same man by the main character for not having raped her earlier in the film.
What?
And the idea that in a movie today, that word could be used to insult someone for not committing the act of rape is horrifying.
Crazy.
To me. And no one's talking about it. I haven't heard a single person in a review or a critique at all bring it up. So maybe I'm taking it too personally.
No.
But like, it really made me crazy in this film that I was desperately trying to like, in spite of the fact that it's kind of an awful movie.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, it's just the character's journey. It's just their story. Like, all kinds of people. That I just got to that and I was like, fuck you. Like, yeah, this is, I don't like this. So that's all. That's me being critical of art, because good. I just think that's irresponsible.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, wasn't thrilled about it. So I guess to maybe flip things around a little bit, my only random thing is that the Grammy nominees came out recently, and I know a decent amount of music that was,
yay,
nominated this year. Like between Beyonce and Chappell Roan and, uh-huh, Ariana Grande and who else? Charlie XCX. I actually ended up having a brat autumn.
Oh.
I was like, I've actually heard of some of these artists this year, which was kind of a big deal for me. So that's all. I'm kind of looking forward to the Grammys because I feel like I actually have a little bit of feelings about the nominees this year.
That's exciting. I just caught up on the VMAs. We're not fully done, but I will say I enjoy Megan Thee Stallion. I enjoy
Megan
her.
Megan Thee Stallion.
I thought she did a great job hosting because, you know, she herself is like her own little pizzazz, fun circus every time she shows up. And then did you watch it? Did you watch the VMAs?
I have not watched it.
No. Well, there's a point where she's like dressed as Britney Spears with the yellow snake. She is scared. It's funny. Anyway, yeah, it's funny.
I'm glad we found this time. Do we think back on for a couple of weeks?
I think we're back on. I mean, okay, you know,
get a few before we have to break for the holidays. Yes, would be nice.
Yes, and then after the holidays, we'll officially be in our next season, right?
Next season we'll start. Yes, we'll call this we're going to see out the season for now, and then we'll anyways, we'll be back next week. Is the long and short of it.
Yeah.
All right. I love you so much.
I love you too, Mike.
Love having
Jensen.
These moments. All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We'll be back next week.
Oh no, my headphones stopped working, and now you're going to be all in my thing.
I did just hear you.
Oh, we're back. Okay, now we're back in my headphones. like between Beyonce and Chapel Road.